This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manicero, and this is a show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes, type in Old Dog, spelled D-A-W-G, find our podcast, and subscribe. Well, you know, on this show, we talk a lot about funding your deals, being able to move up that next step. You know, it's one thing to set aside some money each year and to buy a property. And, you know, generally, you're going to have to buy a small single family home or a small multi. But when you really want to make the move into larger multis, for example, you're going to be faced with that reality of having to fund those projects. And one of the steps and one of the ways that you do that is through sponsorship, finding a sponsor to come alongside you to be a part of your team and actually get involved in the financing end of it to be able to make that step. Once you move into those and you actually acquire some larger properties, it gets easier and easier as time goes on. But getting that sponsor, that key person, and we'll define what a sponsor is in just a couple minutes, is really a key element in being able to fund those larger deals. Well, today I have with me a good friend and mentor, Joe Fairless. This is actually Joe's second appearance on the Old Dogs REI Network. He was our first interview in episode 001 entitled How I Grew My Real Estate Business to $28 Million in 3 Years. Great podcast if you get a chance to listen to it. Just to tell you a little bit about Joe, Joe Fairless is principal at Fairless Investing and host of the extremely popular podcast, Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever. He is the author also of the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever, Volume 1. He started buying multifamily properties in 2013 and now controls over, get this, $101 million worth of real estate in the U.S. He currently lives in Cincinnati and has been investing in real estate since 2008, buying single-family homes. Prior to that, he was the youngest vice president at an award-winning advertising agency in New York City. He also currently consults other investors on multifamily investing. As host of his popular podcast, which is the world's longest-running daily real estate podcast, he has interviewed guests such as Barbara Corcoran from popular show Shark Tank and Robert Kiyosaki, author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And he is a strong advocate of giving back and serves on the Alumni Advisory Board for Texas Tech University and the Board of Directors for Junior Achievement in Cincinnati. Well, Joe, we are so excited to have you here on the Old Dogs REI Network, and welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning/afternoon.
Yes. You got it. It's a morning for me, afternoon for you.
That's right.
Well, great. Well, I'm excited that you actually are available to do this. This is great.
Yep. Absolutely.
I'm going to do all the intro stuff and all that offline. I just want to just jump to the meat and respect your time. What time do you have to be done here?
How long do you think this will be?
It shouldn't be more than like 20 minutes, I would imagine. You know,
perfect.
So
that's perfect.
That works good. Okay, fantastic. Yep. Okay, well, the reason we're having this discussion is I'm trying to get a good understanding on sponsorship. A lot of people that have talked to us about multifamily, a lot of discussions and potential investors and so forth. People are wondering what exactly a sponsor is. And I understand that you had a direct relationship with a sponsor and perhaps even started off that way. Before we get into that, I wanted to find out, how would you define a sponsor as it relates to multifamily real estate?
Ultimately, you can define a sponsor in any number of ways. It depends on what the context is. So I'm glad you started out there, because when you originally reached out to me about doing an interview about this topic, I was confused by the term sponsor. So I'm glad that we're starting out with this. When I think of sponsor, I think of myself who is on the general partnership of a deal, and then the other group with that is a limited partner. And that limited partner, those individuals within the limited partnership, they are investing passively, whereas the sponsor or the general partner is the group or person who is putting the deal together and overseeing everything. So that is how I think of it. Now, as it relates to what we're talking about today, when you say sponsor, what we're referring to is, or what you're referring to, is someone, I believe, but correct me if I'm wrong, is someone who has the net worth and liquidity and signs on the loan documents so that you can get approved for the financing for the commercial real estate transaction. Is that how you're envisioning it?
That's what I understand. Yes. A sponsor is, in other words, you're applying for a loan that you may not qualify for because of its amount. And the banks in general, from what I understand, will not fund that loan if there's not someone who's signing for that loan who has a net worth more than the value of the loan. Is that correct, or how you understand?
Yeah, that's correct. Not only net worth, but then also liquidity as well. And depends on the type of loan that you get, and the who you're working with, based on, you know, what you need for net worth and liquidity. But at the end of the day, I think what we're getting at is, and what we're going to talk about is, if you're starting out and you didn't win the lottery, but you want to get a real estate deal done, how do you structure it with, and we'll call it a sponsor, I'm cool with that, with this sponsor who is who has the net worth, has the liquidity, and will help you get financed, because the bank or the lending institution really likes their balance sheet and net worth, and not so much yours, but they're focused on whatever they are focused on with how they made the money, and you're focused on getting your first two or three or even perhaps your first deal together.
Right. Let me take a look at your first deal. I mean, you had a huge venture just coming out of the chute at 168 units. Is that correct?
Yeah, but I did that one right out of the chute with a creative structure. I did it with a master lease. And I think we talked about that the first time I was on the show. So I won't go into detail on that. As it relates to this conversation, The other deals that I've done, deals on a 250 unit, 155 unit, a 320, 296, and a 217 unit, and now I'm closing on a 200 unit, we have a sponsor for it, for the deals. So on my first deal that you referenced, I did not need one, which perhaps we can talk about. I didn't need one because I did a master lease. Therefore, the current owner stayed on the loan and continued to be the personal guarantor. But on my other ones, we did traditional financing. And as a result, starting out, I certainly didn't have the net worth or liquidity to get approved for a $14 million loan. So I needed to partner with a group that did and figure out the best way to structure it so that we all won.
So let's look at the first deal where you really needed a sponsor, and maybe just give us the particulars of that.
Mm-hmm. So the first deal I needed a sponsor was a 250 unit. And the challenge is that we found a really good deal. We saw that there was an opportunity to add value. It was a stabilized property. And everything checked out. Everything checked out. But we were just getting going. I had only purchased one property before that, one multifamily property before that. And my business partner had never purchased a property on his own. Now, he had experience at that point in time overseeing $450 million worth of apartment communities at his full-time job. And he did the acquisition of those apartment communities, asset management, and disposition of some of them. So he had the traditional experience, but he hadn't done it on his own with his own company before. And I had more of the entrepreneurial, get my hands dirty experience, but neither one of us had the net worth or liquidity at that point in time. So what we did as a creative solution is we partnered up with a property management company in that area that my business partner had a pre-existing relationship with, and we worked with them on partnering on the general partnership. And specifically, getting into details, how we structured it is we brought 70% of the equity required for the deal, but we only got 50% of the general partnership. And so they received 20% as compensation for having that net worth and liquidity and signing on the loan documents.
Wow. Okay. That's really interesting. And they were an associate, or they worked with your business partner. Is that right?
He had come across them in his projects while he had his full-time job, and he'd come across them. And so he knew them fairly well from that.
Yeah, I would imagine, especially with a sponsorship, that it would be somebody that one that you know and trust and feel good about. But obviously, they're going to be concerned about who they're signing a loan for too. That you know what you're doing in terms of managing that property effectively, so that they're not going to lose their investment. And was there sort of a history there for the most part?
Yeah, there was. I think it's important to note that the property management company that we partnered with, they were managing the property too.
Oh, they were already managing this property?
No, they weren't already managing it.
Okay.
But they were going to, and they currently do manage the property.
Okay.
Therefore, they're staying very close to the project, as closer in proximity than we even are. Additionally, it is a non-recourse loan. And even though it's a non-recourse for, I'm sure a lot of your listeners know this, but just as a refresher, non-recourse means you are not personally guaranteeing the loan. However, there are always clauses or carve-outs, they call them bad boy carve-outs, for the non-recourse loans. And a couple of them are, one is gross negligence. So if we completely forsake the property and check out, I move to Tahiti and my business partner moves to, you know, Wyoming or wherever. I don't know, Wyoming comes to mind. But if we move away and we just go in the woods and on the beach and just hang out and don't communicate, then that's going to be gross neglect. The other one is fraud. If we commit fraud as general partners on behalf of the property, then they can make that non-recourse loan recourse. So they were signing a non-recourse loan, which in theory will not come back to haunt them because they're very obscure and highly unlikely ways. There are only a couple ways that they could become, it could become recourse. And I think that's important to note because there's also a personal guarantee where you are literally guaranteeing, say, you know, in the first deal would be over $12 million. You're guaranteeing that $12 million will be paid. And if they miss payments, then guess what? They're going to start deducting it from you, or you're going to be on the hook for it. That's a completely different story. That's a completely different set of liabilities. So as we're now, I'm in the mindset of everyone who's listening, who's looking to work with the sponsor. As we're thinking through how do we find the right sponsor, think through it in their eyes and from their perspective. And you want to get non-recourse loans because that will be easier on them to partake in. And then it will be easier for you, consequently, to get them on board.
Good point. With the structuring of this deal, was the 20% of equity when you sell, or was it did it include cash flow as well? Or when you say 20%, what does that mean?
We brought 70% of the equity to close the deal, but we only took 50% ownership. So the difference between 70 and 50 is 20%. So we had 50-50 ownership with, we still have 50-50 ownership with this company. But if we were to go based on who brought what money, then we would have 70% ownership. They would only have 30%. So they essentially got 20% free or in exchange for them signing on the loan and personally guaranteeing. And from that 50% ownership, so from that 50-50 split, now we just split all the fees and proceeds that the general partnership collects on a deal, 50-50. And in this deal, it is an acquisition fee, it is asset management, and then obviously the profits from the deal that we receive from the percent ownership that we have in it.
Okay, great, great. Thanks for elaborating on that. At least I'd like to look at different structures with other deals that you've had as well. One of the concerns is, you know, when you're looking for a sponsor, that person's share of the deal is an important part of it, I would imagine. What's in it for them? I understand that generally sponsors do not invest their own cash in it, but their value comes in being the signer of that loan. Is that correct?
Depends. It totally depends. They invested money in the deal. That's that one deal. I can tell you we have other deals where, and this is a different structure, so that's why I wanted to bring this up, just to give two different options for your listeners. On another deal, we have an individual who has a high net worth and liquidity, and he has not invested, and he didn't invest on the in the deal, but he, and for an exchange, he's receiving a percent ownership So 10% ownership of the general partnership and 0.25% as a loan guarantee fee paid out on an annual basis. And that 0.25% is a percentage of the loan balance that he is guaranteeing. So let's just say the loan balance is $12 million. That 0.25% of $12 million is $30,000 annually that he's receiving. And I told this to someone I know. He's actually a client of mine. And he said, wow, that's the side of the business that I want to be on. You know, you sign some documents and you don't put up you don't put out any money, but you get $30,000 a year annually. And certainly it's appealing. And quite frankly, I would do it when I transition, you know, the business way down the road towards a different model for sanity purposes, quite frankly. So I'm being a lot more passive. But that's just not where I'm at in my life cycle. However, let's think about it, as I said earlier, from the perspective of the person who is actually signing. They are signing on a loan, albeit it's non-recourse, but they're signing on a loan for $12 million and they're getting $30,000 a year. When you put it in that perspective, they have a risk of $12 million to get $30,000 a year. It's not that much. It's not that lucrative relative to the risk. You could make an argument both ways. You could say it's not that lucrative relative to the risk, or you could say, well, Joe, it's a non-recourse, and unless you commit fraud or gross negligence, which you won't do, I don't think, because you are also investing in the deal, and you have financial incentive to make sure the deal goes well, not to mention all your investors, then you know you can look at it that way. So it's not a no-brainer for high net worth individuals to sign on a non-recourse and get a loan guarantee fee and some percent ownership. It actually takes some time with individuals who know you and also can vouch for your character and see a financial incentive to do so.
Right. Now, for that sponsor, was that somebody that you had to find or you already had in your realm of investors?
My business partner knew him through family friend relationships.
Now, have you ever had to seek out a sponsor?
No.
No. Okay.
No, we've had those two sponsors on all of our deals except for my first one, and then here I'd say within the next three or so deals from now, we won't be using one because we'll have built up our own balance sheets.
Okay. Now, people that are listening to this, there may be some who they don't have the net worth, they don't have the liquidity, they know they're going to need a sponsor if they're going to do a sizable deal. What would you recommend to them? How would you recommend going about finding a sponsor?
Well, I'd say the same ways that I would recommend finding high net worth investors, and that is that I have a YouTube video that talks all about that. And if you email me info@joefairless.com, be happy to share that with you. info@joefairless.com. It goes more in depth. But one thing is you've got to surround yourself with where they hang out. Just like if you're looking for a girlfriend or a boyfriend, husband or wife, you identify what you're looking for, then you go where they're at and you spend time in those places. Well, in this case, with high net worth individuals, we've got to find where they hang out. And guess what? They're hanging out in altruistic forums. So specifically, go volunteer. Go volunteer for a cause that you believe in, that you are passionate about, or that you're at least interested in and willing to spend a Saturday to go help do whatever it is that the cause does. And get into that if you enjoy it, if you enjoy giving back. And eventually your goal is to become on a board. You want to become a board member for that philanthropic organization. And as a board member of a philanthropic organization in your community, you, I guarantee, will come across high net worth individuals who are well connected. And you're going to connect with them on a personal level. You're going to connect with them outside of the business realm. And it's going to build a much stronger relationship with them than if you were to go in and ask if they want to do business with you. That won't work. So we've got to go in, play the long game, know that we're in this business for the long run, and volunteer and get eventually on a board for that organization and build relationships that way.
Great advice. Now, do you know sponsors that may be sponsors for multiple deals? And if so, you know, do the banks verify that the person, you know, has not signed on other things where it far surpasses their net worth?
Yeah, absolutely. The banks will ask that question. You've got to disclose everything that you're on the hook for, everything that you're invested in. And there's a lot of paperwork involved, and banks do their due diligence, and you know, the banks will look at if it's non-recourse or recourse, and then, you know, approve or disapprove accordingly.
And have you had more than one sponsor on a deal?
We also sign on the loans, not because one sponsor doesn't adequately meet the qualification standards, but because they want to also have us on the hook for the same thing that they're on the hook for.
Just for a sponsor, and we kind of touched on this a little bit, just to sort of recap here, why would anybody want to be a sponsor? I know you mentioned sort of the little cash incentive there, the 0.025, but why would somebody want to be? It's important, I think, to know their motivation as well.
Yeah, it's free ownership and it's cash flow. Well, ultimately, it depends on how you structure it with them. But if you give them ownership in the general partnership, then they, for getting approved for a loan and signing some papers and forgetting about it, other than checking in it on a regular, I'd say quarterly basis at minimum to make sure the financials are in order, they get cash flow. It's passive income that is just created from scratch by whatever's in their bank account. So it's a great way, as I mentioned earlier with, you know, the client, when I was talking to him, he's like, well, I want to be on that side of the business. It's a great side of the business to be on. Think of it as a hard money lender. I mean, they're not the ones out there doing the fix and flips. They're the ones lending the money and making the cash on everyone's hard work,
right?
which is good for them. They deserve it, because without them, we wouldn't have fix and flippers who are doing all the wonderful deals that they're doing. We all have a role, and we all serve a purpose in the life cycle of the business. They just happen to have the cash. And the two things that I would dangle in front of them when you're reaching out to sponsors is the loan guarantee fee of 0.25% on the existing loan balance paid out annually, and the percent ownership in the deal. And that's just negotiable based on, you know, whatever you can negotiate with them.
Now, do you usually go after a sponsor after you have the deal, or do you try to get one in place before you have the deal?
In most things on the deal, you'd want to line it up beforehand, and this is certainly one of those things. You want to line up your sponsor before you get the deal. You certainly can do that. You certainly can talk terms with them. Hey, I'm looking for deals around the $10 million mark or $12 million mark. The loan's going to be about $10 million, and I'm looking for a guarantor. I don't qualify yet. Here's what my lender, my mortgage broker, is telling me is required from a net worth and liquidity standpoint. You'll have to fill out paperwork. I am offering 0.25% on the loan balance plus equity ownership, depending on, you know, the deal that we'll figure out what the percent is. Is this something that you'd like to participate with me on? And then just get their thoughts.
That's great. Well, Joe, I've already held you a little bit longer than I said I would, but this is a fascinating topic and of which you are very knowledgeable. So I'm glad you gave us your time today so that folks could get a better understanding of sponsorship and its role in purchasing multifamily properties. Is there anything else you want to add or anything else you think might be significant for our listeners?
I think you covered it. Really enjoyed our conversation, and everyone can go to email me, info@joefairless.com, for either that video on investors and attracting high net worth individuals, or if you'd like the apartment resources guide for a bunch of apartment resources that are free that you can go to. We've got a PDF for you with a bunch of good stuff on books and podcasts and things. Email me info@joefairless.com and we'll get you that guide.
Oh, fantastic. And we'll also have that link up on our website and our show notes from this interview as well. So we know you guys can go to olddogsreinetwork.com. In our blog section where our show notes are, you'll be able to get that information as well. Just in case you're driving, you weren't able to write it down. But Joe, gosh, I can't thank you enough for being on our show and giving us your time and your massive knowledge here of multifamily investing.
My pleasure, Bill. Hey, do you bark at all at the end of these shows? I know when I first did this show, we barked. Do you not bark anymore?
No. You actually have to howl. You do have a howl on record with us, but you know, we have a contest at the end of the year where we actually listen to all the howls and then we have our listeners decide which is the best howl. So if you want to try to do one up on your last howl, I think you could take that opportunity right now.
Ow, 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 ow!
Wow, did you have reverb on that?
That was why I accepted the interview request. I want to howl. That's the whole purpose. I thought we were going to miss that for some reason. I was like, no way. That's my favorite thing.
I know. You almost topped. I know you already topped the last one. So you're getting real competitive on me.
Anytime you want me back on the show to howl, I'm here for you, my friend.
You got it. Well, we'll have you on the finals. We know that for sure.
All right. Sounds great. Talk to you later.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Joe, for joining us. I also want to thank all of our old dog listeners out there for joining us as well. I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've taken the time to join us to listen to this show, we greatly appreciate it. Please note, old dog listeners, everything presented here today, including any links that were mentioned during the podcast, can be accessed in our detailed show notes on the Old Dogs REI Network website. That's Old Dogs REI Network, and of course, Dogs is DAWGS, REINetwork.com/blog. That's where you'll find our show notes. So just have a look in there under episode 075 entitled Finding a Sponsor for Your Deals. Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward. And may God bless you.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.